The Curve on Money FM from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Welcome to The Curve with Jason Kruger. We have a great guest in studio today. His name is John Wanza. And John Wanza is an expert in branding and marketing and all of that.
I try to be.
You try to be. I think, what's that saying? You're never too old to learn.
That's right. It's a constant journey.
Yeah.
Brands evolve. The way we do marketing is evolving. The way people communicate and the way people absorb information, these things are constantly changing.
Yeah.
So any given brand and any given business by extension is constantly in a state of evolution.
Yeah.
And so from a branding perspective, the core principle remains that you need to constantly have the brand evolving at the same pace as the target audience,
yeah,
at the same pace as the changes in the given industry, and at par with current social trends as well.
So
we too as professionals have to constantly be evolving and improving.
Yeah, and making sure that you're ahead of the curve.
We stay ahead of the curve, yeah. Absolutely.
Because I suppose that would be a tragedy if you've got such a great product, but your marketing and branding team or ethos is lacking. I think, and probably you'll see that quite a few good brands have died that way.
You know, exactly. It's a bit like what happens if you can imagine going up to a club and everybody is listening to the latest songs, and you come up and you're this DJ who suddenly decides that in a nightclub in Kalingalinga you're gonna turn up and play a Bobby Brown song,
yeah,
or MC Hammer,
yeah,
you know, completely missed the mark.
Yeah.
So you know, you constantly it remains about people. Businesses are driven by people. Brands are grown by people.
Yeah.
The interaction and ultimately the end user, always, you know, it's always down to a human decision that you're trying to evoke. So
yeah, I get it. And I like that aspect of emotion that you,
yes,
bring into your brand if you do it well. So that's what we're talking specifically about today, is visual identity.
Sure.
So tell me, what is visual identity?
So visual identity, in the context of marketing and branding, is all the different elements that create the visual look of the brand.
Mm.
So, you know, by that, your primary elements remain, you know, your corporate colors, and how you mix them up to together form the brand. This is both in terms of the colors that you find on your logo, but also even just the font and the backgrounds that you use. But it extends further. And a lot of times I've seen a lot of organizations locally who would have a very nice brightly colored logo, but would not bother to extend that look and feel, that visual identity,
yes,
into the employees' dressing, so your branded shirts, etc., yeah, into your building. So you'd have a nice bright yellow and orange logo,
yeah,
which is striking and does the job in terms of communicating the vibrancy of this brand,
yeah,
but they would not bother, for example, to paint their building as the same colors. They'd rather just get a plain white shirt and just stick the logo on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it could actually be a bright orange shirt for, you know,
you could really extend
that brand, yeah. But so visual identity really stretches out of that, you know. When I look at a particular logo on a letterhead, for example, I expect that if somebody from that company sends me an email, the email signature is going to be in sync in terms,
exactly,
of the color, the look,
yeah,
and feel.
Yeah.
When I go to their website, I'm going to get the same color, look, and feel. If,
yeah,
I see a billboard of theirs, it's going to have the same colors,
yeah,
the same look and feel. What that does is that it subconsciously implants that combination of colors,
yeah,
that combination, that visual feel, that when you see it, it subconsciously embeds it into your mind, such that when you see it, you automatically think of that given brand.
Exactly.
I think Coca-Cola has done a very good job at,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
with their red, you know.
And I mean, it's an iconic brand from the late 1800s
100%.
All the way. And how the brand, although the brand has changed the brand has changed in some of their outlooks and marketing,
sure,
but that logo,
yes,
has stayed the same
100%.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting thing that happens with Coca-Cola. I mean, they they like you said, they did evolve quite a lot. So you see the red, you know, from the classic look is you've got this red box, this red square, and then you've got the letters in white. Now, red typically, you know, communicates passion, communicates stop, communicates danger. I mean, you know, we all live in societies where we're driving, we know the red traffic light means don't go. And so these are automatically signals that not naturally a brand would probably stay away from. Such a solid bright red, because it's sort of stop. But then they've managed to turn that around. But what's fascinating for me there is when you look at the actual words Coca-Cola, the actual font. The font itself is sans serif, which means it's not the sort of formal like typewriter like font. It's a very easy cursive flowing font. So every most of the letters, they are connected, and so it's one line that's creating that. So what that does is that it tones down the red that is on the background. So you've got a combination of two potentially opposite elements, where you've got this solid bright red background, but then the Coca-Cola, the lettering is so easy, and it's white. So that contrast is what makes the fascination. But then it was very interesting when you take that out of that red and you look at a bottle, especially when the bottle has Coke inside. Because it's pretty black. It's black. So how it then sits on a black background, and how they were able to do that, and they decided you know, previously the bottles would have a red sort of sticker, and the white bit is what was a see through on the glass bottles. On the plastic bottles is solid red and the white. So all of these elements, you can see that the visual look and feel still gives you that. The contrast of, like, you know, between the very strong bold red and the easy layout. So it's very interesting that that iconic brand that's understood in all these countries, they've been able to run that across the world. Now there are certain parts of the world where red is taboo. And they have said, you know, this is our brand and we're going to stick with it. A lot of other brands have had to adapt and change based on certain demographics and certain areas. But what they did is basically stick to their guns and say, look, this is our international, this is us, and we don't compromise. And when you have such a strong visual identity, you implant that such that when I see any other red with white lettering, I still think Coke, because they own that visual identity. So in essence, that's what it boils down to. When we talk about visual identity, we talk about the impact that a brand can have to own certain elements, such that a combination of red and white, it takes you to a call automatically.
The Curve on Money FM from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
So one of the things that I've seen when I started the journey of being an entrepreneur and started looking into some of these things, because I think a businessman needs to have not like the in-depth huge amount of knowledge and insight that an advertising agency has, but they should understand, you know, what their brand archetypes are. And we're going to talk about that next week.
That's right.
You know, what their visual identity is and how that ties the whole brand together. But there is a feeling that I got when I first started seeing this is that, wow, this is a lot of depth. And do I truly need this amount of depth in my brand? You know, when you start talking about who my hero is, the tone of voice, and that type of stuff. So from your experience as a massive brander in Zambia, how important is it?
Well, I think a lot of organizations, you know, it's an underestimated part of any given business. That's just the sad reality. But I'd love to think that when anybody sits down and says, look, I'm going to start a business, they've got a vision of where they're trying to go. The problem is the branding element, especially the visual elements, usually are forsaken. So you have a view that you want to grow your business, not from one office, but to have 17 offices across Zambia. You know that. And in the back of your mind, you're sort of preparing and you've got an expansion plan for how you're going to set up these offices and how they're going to run. But what you don't think about is how you're going to grow your brand to be ubiquitous and to be united across these different operations. So what tends to happen is that I'm going to do PACRA, I'm going to open a bank account, I'm going to set up an office, I'm going to buy a computer, I'm going to hire 1, 2, 3 staff, I'm going to buy a company car. And it's almost a by the way. I might need a logo, actually. And most of the times, like, oh yeah, no, I know my cousin or my brother's daughter is quite good with art. I'll just let them do this. But there's a lot of things that you need to consider within the brand. Number one, you need to bear in mind that as you started your business, you had a target audience in mind.
Yeah.
Once you understand that those are your key clients, you then need to understand what makes them tick, what they're passionate about. And so as you develop, even from your logo perspective, as you develop your logo, it needs to be in sync with what these people hold dear and true to them.
Exactly.
I'll give you an example. Let's just create a brand now. Mm. So imagine I want to set up an insurance company, right? I want to set up an insurance company and I'm going to look at the mass market. So this is going to be an insurance company that perhaps supplies insurance to marketeers, the guys who sell
many
vegetables, etc. Yeah. So that if they lose their products or somebody steals them from them, they're insured. Mm. So we're going to look at that and then say to ourselves, right, the average person, what's the average income of the person that has a store in the market? How much are they actually making? So for argument's sake, we can say maybe they make
10,000 kwacha a month.
10,000 kwacha a month, So we look at that. So then we break that down. So 10 divided by 4, what does that give us roughly? About 2.5. Yeah. So you've got 2.5 and that's your profit, because naturally you'd imagine that it's gross profit, I'd imagine, because you understand plan back into the business. So then how much do they spend a day? Because what that starts to do is it starts to give you an insight into how they eat, where they eat, what clothes, where they buy their clothes, and so you start to get a measure of where they would likely to live, because how much rent are you going to pay? And so what do these people come across on their daily lives? I mean, they're normally on buses, I'd imagine. I think if you've ever been to Soweto Market, for example, it is hectic over there, and it's such a multicolored,
organized chaos.
Organized chaos, absolutely. Yeah. So when we now nail down to say, look, this is the person that we're speaking to, with the archetype of the brand, the profile of the target market then informs how we're going to set up this brand. So for example, we know that generally in mass market areas and in the lower income bracket, the levels of education are not very high.
No.
So we're going to keep it very simple.
Yeah.
We're likely to use a Zambian name, a Nyanja or a Tonga or whatever it is to have the brand. Exactly. But then simplicity is going to be in keeping it in as few words as possible.
Yeah.
There's a bank, I'm not going to say which one, that has done this very well. Yeah. And they simply said hashtag Kula. And Kula means grow, you know. And it's such a simple, straightforward thing that you look at and you pick up. So when you do that, then you say, look, whatever color we're going to use, because of, you know, the organized chaos that we're talking about in the market, there's so much activity, so much stuff happening, you're going to need a very bold color to really stand out from all of
grab
that
the attention,
100%. You know?
And, you know, a blue, and we'll, you know, we're going to talk about this brand colors properly, but a blue is like a very chilled, relaxed.
A blue is a very chilled, relaxed color. And yes, we've got variations of blue, but still, blue is sort of neither here nor there. Yeah.
And a red is like a very bold, like, in your face, it could be too much.
Precisely.
An orange is like, okay, trustworthy.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So we're going to definitely...
A friendly feel, that sort of stuff,
We're going to expand on brand colors a lot in the following shows. And so I just wanted to highlight there the one thing that you said the most.
Mm.
And what you've just encapsulated over the last minute or so was how you know who your customer is.
100%. You need to understand them, you know. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before. It's one of my favorite sayings, you know. There's a saying that running a business without advertising is like winking at a girl in the dark. But in the same way, you know, if you don't understand who your target audience is, you are casting such a wide net that you're likely to miss every single one of them. So it's in the understanding on who you are particularly talking to.
Yeah. And I see it as well as you know, as you said, casting a wide net. But if you don't know who your customer is, you're going to waste so much money on advertising because it's going to be shooting in the dark.
Going to be like 100%,
a thumbsuck.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And you said something to me one of the first times that we chatted on the show, and it's just slipped my mind now what you actually said to me. But it was along the lines of how branding and that speaks to the customer.
Yes.
And how you use that to the best advantages possible.
That's right. Yeah.
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 So
yeah.
It's still and you know, my journey as an entrepreneur when I first started in this branding exposure things, and it was just Google and YouTube basically.
Yes.
So it wasn't any official stuff. But I was just blown away in the beginning of like, wow, this stuff is so much. There's so many different aspects and avenues.
Yes.
Visual identity, which we're talking about now, and you know, colors and logos and how does this work and all of that. And it was scary, but then I found as I started understanding it a little bit more and getting into it, I was like, okay, yeah, no, that makes total sense. It's not because I don't know if you've ever been to a gallery opening and you go and see, you know, these artists and they've got this painting and it's just like colors and you can't see anything. And this artist is going on about how, you know, esoteric life is and all of this jargon. And you're just looking at this person going, you're crazy.
But see, there's an interesting thing that happens there, especially when you're talking fine art. Mm-hmm. They have a particular kind of branding that they run with as well, you know, because they're not supposed to be understood.
Yeah.
And so they've got their branding down to a T.
Yeah.
I won't fault them because they understand that, you know, in the higher LSM, in the higher income bracket, there is this need to be sophisticated. There is this need to feel you understand and comprehend the finer things in life.
Yeah.
And so they leverage on that.
Exactly.
Yeah, to create the most confused stuff. But if you can tell a story and weave it around for that particular audience, it makes sense because they're going to hang it in their big living room. And somebody's going to come and say, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And they're going to take pride in explaining this.
Exactly.
As in, I can get art better than you. So it's also, that's another way that these artists have understood the target audience.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They completely get the target audience.
And
we've had situations where those sculptures just down the road.
Yeah.
By ECZ, and there was a massive uproar. They had to be torn down.
Yeah.
You know, that's mass market.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not going to get those art pieces in the mass market.
No, yeah. And I suppose there's an artist, a friend of mine by the name of Carol Aslan. I'm sure you know her. Yeah.
Yes.
And she had a gallery, and I was at the time, you know, as you grow a bit more mature and, you know, as you start making a bit more money, you can start to get introduced to, you know,
into
like
art,
the wine tasting
and fine
world.
Fine wine.
And,
yes, exactly. Exactly.
And so I was not part of those. I was still a Coke and water guy.
Sure. Yeah.
And she invited me because I'd actually installed an alarm system in her house.
Right.
And she invited me to the gallery, and I said, "Yeah, it's never been one of my things, but you know what? Why not? Let's go." And I walked into the gallery, and there's this one piece of, and I accredit this to one of my changes in my life, big changes.
Mm.
And I walked in, and I just took a look at this painting, and I was like, "Wow." And it just emotionally spoke to me.
You connected instantly.
Pulled me in. And then Carol came and stood next to me, and I said, this is what this painting makes me feel.
Yeah.
This is how a thing. And she almost had like tears in her eyes. She was like, that's exactly what I wanted. And I was like, what? And I was so excited because, you know, here's the artist that's painted this painting. And it wasn't this like beautiful, it was a beautiful painting, no doubt, but it was very abstract.
Yes.
And it wasn't something that was very easily understood when you first looked at it. But and I suppose that's the same thing with visual identity as well.
It is. There are some very interesting brands. FedEx is one of them.
Yes.
So when you think about the FedEx logo, so you've got the F and all of them are in big
bold.
Capital, big blood.
Two different colors.
Exactly, exactly. And what a lot of people have never actually gotten this.
Yeah.
I've run this and spoken to a lot of people, but it is genius, that logo.
Yeah.
For starters, the big bold, it just makes it formal, it's urgency, they communicate that. So you've got the F, and then you've got the...
Where the D and the E starts.
Yes, yes. And then you've got the X at the end there. But between the X and the
E,
there is an arrow.
and you can't unsee it.
And you can't unsee it once you've seen it.
Once you've seen it,
and it's the like, arrow is, we keep moving, we're delivering, we're pointing, you know. And so you get these brands that it's only after you've actually analyzed it.
Yeah.
And you see, our friends in the West have fully capitalized on this. They've incorporated artists to create pieces of art with their logos.
Yeah.
So
I mean, so in ending, because I don't know why we're always running out of time, you and I, but I think it's just because the passion that we have for branding. In ending, if you could say one thing to somebody out there right now, what are some of the things that they can do to improve their branding? Just like
from a visual identity point of view, I think number one, understand your audience, understand who they are, where they shop, what they love, what they're into, and incorporate those insights into the brand. Secondly, you need to have a long-term vision. When you design your logo or any of, or choosing what corporate colors you're going to use, you've got to have the end game in sight. So don't think now because the color red is trending now. Think, is this going to be trending in 50 years' time? When you get that right, you've got longevity in your brand. So your visual look and feel has to be consistent as well. So when you think about what colors you're going to use, think about how those colors are going to look on a T-shirt, on a smart shirt, on a business card, on a website, and let all of that stuff inform how your brand is going to look and feel. But by all means, involve an expert. It is a worthwhile investment, and it is necessary. Involve an expert. Speak to a consultant, even if it's just for advice. We need to understand that there are people whose livelihoods, they do this for a living, you know, and they need to be utilized. And we've got a lot of great agencies in Lusaka and nationally as well.
Yeah.
It's always worth reaching out.
There are so many tools out there as well.
100%. And online, we've got great tools online, actually. There are a lot of great websites that offer branding insights and guidelines. So it's always worth doing a bit of research and prioritizing the branding element of the business.
And I suppose that's exactly what the show is about. It's
sharing knowledge.
Sharing knowledge,
And absolutely.
And where to go. Absolutely. So we've been talking about visual identity. Thank you, John Mwanza, for coming in. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. We'll brand you later.
The Curve on Money FM from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.